What we're finding is a lot of people were totally unprepared and they've actually had to postpone retirement. You know, that's a problem. Only 23% of Americans actually have a retirement plan. That's a problem.
It's time for the Retirement Reality Podcast with the founder of Principal Preservation Services, Mike Koyanen.
Welcome into the Retirement Reality Podcast. I am Ben George, joined by Mike Koyanen, founder and owner at Principal Preservation Services. Mike, good to talk to you again. How's it going today?
Today is great. New year, 2021.
Yeah.
And looking forward to some positive things this year compared to last year.
Absolutely. We're all looking ahead. We're hoping 2021 is going to be a good thing. There's been some good vaccine news over the last month or so. So hopefully we're moving towards that more of a normalcy that we've been waiting for a number of months now. But I think we're getting closer, don't you think?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, we can only be positive right now. When things are out of our control, that's all we can do is just hope and pray on that.
Yeah, very good point. Well, today on the show, we're going to be talking about lessons we've learned from some of the biggest market crashes of all time. And, you know, now we can actually bring in that 2020 coronavirus pandemic and talk about that as well. But we'll run through some of the biggest events in our country's history financially and talk about a few of the lessons we've learned along the way, because we know the next one's going to happen at some point. We don't know when it's going to be, but we want to be prepared for when it happens. So we'll try to find some common themes along the way so that we can prepare ourselves for that next market crash. We'll also have a couple of mailbag questions to get to before the show's all over. And always remember, you can find everything we talk about online at principalpreservationservices.com. All of our podcasts are archived there. Plus, you can schedule a meeting with Mike right there from his website. Very easy to do. And you can also access all of his resources he has on the web. So, Mike, let's jump into this Market Crash Hall of Fame and talk about some of the lessons that we've learned from these really famous market crashes. And I'm sure most people have heard about all these, but there might be some things that you have forgotten about over time. So let's start with the one that everybody thinks back upon. And we talk about dark, dark days. You go all the way back to Black Tuesday on October 29th, 1929. The Dow fell by 12% that day.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, there's not many people still left on Earth that actually lived through, you know, went through that. But yeah, so it's out of most of our experience, of course, because it happened almost 100 years ago now. But yeah, that's we hear about it in history books. And we can see how fast things can drop, which, you know, we can definitely relate to these future bear markets that we've had as well. But, you know, a 12% drop is a big drop in one day. And you just equate that to, you know, your retirement. And people were, you know, jumping from buildings, weren't they? I mean, because their lives were in such disarray. And again, I mean, we talk about, you know, not relying only on one thing, but you know, when people's livelihood was based off one source of income, or one all your eggs in one basket, you could see how it impacted their lives, what they were willing to give up their lives because their whole life was turned upside down in one day.
Yeah, it was a very, very dark day, and this one that we still talk about, and it's really only the only one, maybe. For a long period of time that's really notable on our list. I mean, everything else we talk about here comes in the last maybe 25 years or so, which is very interesting. It just shows you kind of how volatile things have been in the technology era. But let's start with that dot-com crash. This was in 2000, early 2000 is when most analysts will tell you the dot-com crash started. It was that tech bubble that started to burst and all the markets went down in a very sharp fashion. And it took a long time before that actually bottomed out.
Yeah, and it was actually about 2.5 years from April 2000 to, you know, the fall of 2002. So it was a long, trying to drug out type. It wasn't what we've experienced recently, because it was 2.5 years. It's a longer downturn. But if you remember back in those days in the late 90s and, you know, even early 2000 Super Bowl, I mean, when we saw those Super Bowl ads, it was .com this, .com that, all these tech bubbles, but tech stocks. But it dropped fast. And I have one of my clients, he's a retired bank president, and he was actually, I bring this up because he was in a lot of tech stocks at the time. And he was telling his own clients, get out of the tech stocks. but yet he was hanging in there. So he was giving advice to others, and then he was doing just the opposite, because he told me his goal, they were doing so well, he wanted his stocks to get to a certain level at that time. The problem is it never hit that level. Then he lost half of what he had. So he took a beating, and he lost half of his value. And it took a long time for a lot of those tech stocks, and some never came back. So
right.
Scary part of that that period. And then within that area, we actually had, you know, the September 11th, the Twin Tower attacks.
Right.
So that kind of fell in there, too. And so we're also looking at that issue that kind of fell in, that just kind of added to the problem with the dot-com.
Yeah, that trading following September 11th, it was the first day of trading. It was September 17th, 2001. And that actually represents the third largest single-day decline in history. And it's pretty wild looking back on it that, as you pointed out, happens in the middle of that dot-com crash.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what an awful time as well. So unfortunately, you know, all these ones that we're talking about, boy, it wasn't just financial issues. It was... There was heartbreak, you know, and so many other different ways, whether it's health related or a tragedy that happened with the Twin Towers. I mean, these are moments you'll never forget.
Absolutely. All right. 2008, that's the one I think we all were pointing towards before the coronavirus hit in 2020. But that crisis in 08, maybe you can point to September 29th. That was of 2008. That was the biggest single day decline ever in the market. Then you had the collapse of Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, the housing crisis. Mm-hmm. Just a lot happened over that time. And again, this drew out for quite a while.
Yeah, and actually it started, the whole bear market actually started, the market peaked in October of 07. And so it actually started in 2007, the fall. And then it bottomed out in March of 09. So this was a 17-month downfall. So just 1 month short of a year and a half. So when we look at the tech bubble, it was 2.5 years. This was about a year and a half. But a month shy of a year and a half. So, but that was a sharp decline. It was even sharper than the tech bubble that we dealt with. This was the S&P lost 57% from the peak to the bottom. We talk about that max drawdown. Wow. from the high point to the bottom, 57%, where the tech bubble was about 49% over 2.5 years. This is 57 over a year and a half. So yeah, and also this comes with the housing crisis. And so again, like every time there's something financially related, there's also something personally typically related in all these as well. And that's, you know, people losing their homes. And you know, a lot of people had lost homes. We talk about all the foreclosures, all the short sales going on, the builders struggling, and all the people in those trades that associated with new housing and new building were struggling at that time, and the heating, cooling, and the anything associated with, you know, the building business. So that was tough. And, you know, I was actually back in as a mortgage broker back in the day as well. So that affected me. And then we had 20 something mortgage loan officers working for me at the time. And that was in 2007, 2008. It was just me. Wow. Nobody wanted to be in the industry anymore but me. So that was a big change. That was definitely a big change.
All right, so that takes us up to almost present day, the 2020 coronavirus pandemic. And, you know, Mike, I guess we're not totally out of the woods on all this yet. It seems like, you know, with the vaccine, things are trending that direction. We hopefully have seen the worst of it. But, you know, just goes to show you, just like that, I mean, everything happened so quickly in March and into April that, you know, everything dropped just I don't know, maybe the quickest we've seen.
Yeah, it was fast. We call this a black swan event because it was health related, not economic related. And, you know, the S&P lost 34% in about 5.5 weeks, a little less than 6 weeks. I think the market peaked on February 19th and it bottomed out on March 23rd of 2020. But there's some steep losses in certain days too. So I just kind of wrote down some of those major losses. Just on March 9th alone, the Dow lost 7.79% that day. March 12th, it lost 9.99%. And on March 16th, it lost 12.93%. So, you know, when we talk about some of these big losses, we talk about, you know, Black Tuesday back in the Great Depression lost, you know, 12%. Well, the coronavirus that lost 12.93% on March 16th. So it was some tough, fast losses. It was hard to keep track because, you know, typically these bear markets don't happen this sharply. It usually takes over a period of time. But again, because it wasn't economic related, we had good unemployment numbers part of that. The unemployment was like all-time low. Mm-hmm. Market was hit all-time high. And so, I mean, that was the things that were going for us at the time because even it took a sharp turn. It took, fortunately, within 6 months, the market had recovered.
So let's talk about some of the lessons we've learned from all these, Mike. I mean, that's a good recap of what we've seen so far. But let's talk about some of the common threads and how we can be prepared for the next one, because we don't know when it'll be. And, you know, I think some people maybe expected volatility, like let's say in 2020 with the election and stuff coming up. But again, you can never really plan for those events like the Black Swan event of the coronavirus and the financial crisis in 2001. All these things come out of nowhere. So you have to be prepared for it because you don't know when it's going to happen. So what are some of those common threads that you've seen from each of these events?
Well, like you said, I mean, the common thread is we don't know when they're coming. You know, so, you know, there's experts out there, and you can be on Facebook, you can be on Googling some information, and there's always going to be some article. There's some guru out there who predicted the last downturn, and they're predicting when you should get out of the market as well. I've been hearing those for the last how many years as well. So this last one, we actually had a 11-year bull run in the market, the longest bull run in history until the coronavirus came. So the, you know, common threads is most people are not prepared. Is when I look at it, when we look at retirement plans, most people are throwing most of their money in one basket. And which basket is that? That's the risk basket. We're not opposed to risk, but we're opposed to having all your dollars in the risk bucket because, you know, when things like this happen, it's going to offset your retirement date, or it's going to change your retirement plan if you're already retired. So what we're finding is a lot of people were totally unprepared, and they've actually had to postpone retirement. You know, that's a problem. Only 23% of Americans actually have a retirement plan. That's a problem. So when you look back, you says, well, if you're not planning, you're planning to fail, right? Mm-hmm. They say if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. So yeah. You have to get that in place. So I think that's the most common thread that we could see through that.
Yes, that stat you threw out. I mean, hopefully people have taken note of what happened in 2020 and are starting to put a plan together if they don't have one. I think we even mm-hmm. talked about in one of our past episodes that majority of Americans said they're going to change their ways once this thing clears. So hopefully that actually takes place. What about lessons you've learned personally, Mike, as an advisor, helping people navigate through some of these issues, and especially what you maybe have learned through 2020?
Yeah, what I've learned is I feel confident what we're doing with our clients and with, you know, the prospects that come in our doors, that we're doing the right thing for them, because typically our goal is to de-risk their portfolio some, typically, because most people have too much risk. So it's nice that we were planning for things for like this to happen. We were already pre-planning. We hope for the best, but we prepare for the worst. And so when things like this come, it was nice to know that we actually had put this plan in place for our clients. This is part of our planning that we do, is because we don't know about when this unexpected will happen. We didn't have one client lose more than 9% was a maximum loss that any of our clients had lost during this whole pandemic of 2020. And so our maximum loss goal for our clients is maximum 10%. And so we had one client that was just shy under that 9%, but the reason being that is you can recover so much faster by taking less of a loss. And so, you know, not to pat myself on the back, but it just tells us that we're in this niche and this working with the retirees, and I believe that we're doing things right. It just confirmed that we're doing things right. Nobody knows how long the bull market was going. If this pandemic didn't come, how much longer would this bull market have gone? Mm-hmm. You know, it might have gone another 2 more years, 3, 4 more years. We don't know. But it just confirmed that we're doing things right with our clients here.
Well, hopefully people were in position to take advantage of that opportunity in 2020, you know, when the market turned down so sharply. And if you weren't, that's okay. You know, put a plan together. Get together with Mike and his team at Principal Preservation Services. Have that plan in place for next time, because – you know, we expect, as always, the market's going to turn down again. We don't know when and how sharply, and if it'll be as bad as 2020 or 2008 or any of these other big market crash Hall of Fame events, as we call them here on the show today. But you got to be ready, because there is an opportunity in a lot of these situations.
Yeah, that's the key. Is what we tell people is obviously you get close to retirement. What you have, maybe you have a year or 2 years to work yet before retirement, is, I said, you might have 90-95% of what you will ever have. And so what's the point of taking that gamble right now, right before retirement? Or if you're just real close to retirement, I said, you already have enough to get you. Even if you live to 100, there's some leftovers. I said, what's your goal to take on so much more risk right now when you don't need to take on as much risk as you're taking? Sometimes it's okay to pull back to have that guaranteed retirement, because you could lose that. You could lose that in a heartbeat. It's out of our control. What happened here was totally out of anybody's control. Nobody saw it coming. So, and the key is, again, it's a game changer. Once you retire, you can't afford to be doing the same thing. The plan that you have prior to retirement is going to be a different plan you need to have in retirement. They won't even look anywhere close to the same, because you're in that distribution phase of life, and you need to make sure that your plan is adjusted appropriately for that.
Well, you can get in touch with Mike again. PrincipalPreservationServices.com is the website. You can call their office. They have two of them, one in Woodbury, one in Hudson, at 855-987-8888. A couple of mailbag questions before we close out today's episode. First one comes in from Harold. He says, I'm still working and plan to work for at least another 2 years, but I'm now old enough to start taking my Social Security without being limited on how much income I can earn. Is this a recommended strategy?
You know, so that's good, Harold. So if you're actually working and collecting without any, you're not subject to the earnings test, which the earnings test only comes into play if you're going to take Social Security before your full retirement age, which you're just telling me you're at least at Social Security's full retirement age or older. You know, it's not a bad deal. It's really not that bad. You were just talking about, you know, if you live, maybe if you live till 90, 92, Harold, you might be coming out ahead if you waited till 70. But the good thing is you waited till at least your full retirement age. So I can't knock you for that. That's not, because we don't walk around with expiration dates on our forehead. We don't know when our last day will be. So I don't think you did an awful thing, because you waited that long. Now, Harold, if you're married, sometimes, and we don't know what, if you are married, if what your spouse's benefit is, sometimes we try to get the larger benefit to wait as long as we can. And it might not make a difference for your case. If it's, just remember, it's within 12 months, you can have it just reviewed. If we find out that maybe you want to wait another year or two or three more years to let it grow, maybe to benefit your spouse if something ever happened to you, that's something to consider. You can always reverse what you actually did. And if it's within 12 months, pay that money back and act like it never happened again. But yeah, come in for review, Harold, and we'll show you if it made the right decision or not. But I don't think it's that bad.
Thank you for the question, Harold. Katrina, she's our last question today. She says, my husband isn't inclined to do any retirement planning because he says he'll just keep working. Is this mindset okay? I guess I'm worried about what happens if he can't keep working, even if he wants to.
Yeah, and I agree, because we want to work as long as we want to, right? But we don't always get to pick our last day of work, unfortunately. You know, we work, you know, real close to, our Woodbury office is not too far from the 3M headquarters here, right down the interstate. And, they've done some layoffs. They've eliminated some positions. And working with one of our clients here, well, a few of our clients this fall, they were actually eliminated these positions. And people were forced to take early retirement even before they wanted to. So unfortunately, you don't get to always pick those dates. And that's a tough thing. In a perfect world, that's great if we know we can, but that's not always a guarantee. I always think it's important to do planning well before retirement. Like I mentioned in our previous episode, is only 23% of people actually have a retirement plan. And so it's hard to know, do you need to keep working? Maybe it's nice to know, just give that peace of mind that you could retire now. And just in case they give you one of those pink slips or they're eliminating that position, at least you have that comfort level instead of going through the unnecessary stress, not knowing if you can retire. So my recommendation, get a plan put in place well ahead before retirement.
Thanks for the question. Planning is always key. That's what we talk about it quite a bit here on the show, and why we try to help you understand that. And hopefully we did that today with lessons from the Market Crash Hall of Fame. And thank you for your questions. If you have any questions, send them in to us. PrincipalPreservationServices.com is the website. And the phone number to reach Mike and his team is 855-987-8888. Thanks, Mike, for going through this with us today. We appreciate it. I look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.